Now you'll find a reading this morning in the Gospel of John, John's Gospel chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 1 through to 8. John's Gospel chapter 12, and we continue on our little series that we've been looking at, following the footsteps of Christ, learning lessons from the life of our Lord. And as we look at His life, we want to seek to apply the things that we learn from that to our own life. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Ending there at verse 8. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. I've entitled this little message this morning, The Saints at Supper with the Savior. This event took place just leading up to the crucifixion. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. So we're not far really from the crucifixion, and it was just as he was preparing himself for that great happening that would take place. And we find that the event that took place here is recorded in two of the other Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 through 11, and it's recorded in Mark's Gospel chapter 14, verse 3 through to 7. And I am persuaded that the three writers are referring to the same occasion. It's just a matter of each writer seeing the thing through his own eyes. If something's happening in Lisburn through the week and different newspaper reporters come to report on it, some may report things that others don't report, and others may report things that somebody else didn't report, and so they report the same thing, but they not necessarily focus in on the things that each one would do. So people differ in how they see things, and it's good to have the events and the happenings that we have in our Bible reported by different ones of the writers, and so we get a full picture of what took place. We find that we learn from Matthew and from Mark that this happened in the house of Simon the leper. This was a man whom the Lord had probably cured from this terrible, loathsome disease. And it was in his home that these things took place. In this passage that we are reading this morning from in John chapter 12, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there are three principal characters. There's Lazarus, there's Mary, and there's Martha. We see the family. Here was a brother and two sisters, and they're the three principal characters with the Lord Jesus in this portion. We see the fellowship. It says they made him a supper. The family were having fellowship with the Lord, and not only were they there, but Simon the leper was there, and his disciples were there, and we know that because Judas complained when Mary broke the pound of ointment that the breaking of the ointment was a waste of money and so on. And so we see that at least there were 17 people at the supper. And we see the fragrance because Mary anointed the Lord Jesus with this costly ointment, and it says the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We want to learn this morning from these three characters in the passage, from Lazarus, from Martha, and from Mary. And in connection with the Lord, we want to learn from them and see something in each one of them today. I want to look first of all at Lazarus. It says there that Lazarus, who had been dead and was raised from the dead, was one of them that sat at the table with him. And we see Lazarus sitting. And that's a mighty thing that Lazarus sat at the table with him, because in the previous chapter, Lazarus was dead. Remember chapter 11, how that this man was sick. His two sisters became concerned about his condition. They sent for the Lord Jesus, who was another place. He tarried where he was. Lazarus died. He was taken and was buried. And we see that Lazarus was not only dead, but he was in the dark. He was put into the tomb. And when Christ came 4 days later, you remember he came to the tomb of Lazarus and he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man arose, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And we see now that Lazarus was delivered. This man who was dead, this man who lay in the tomb, was delivered, and Christ gave him new life. He got new life. And here, as we come to chapter 12, we see Lazarus dining. He was one of them that sat at the table with him. The man who was dead and in the grave was now sitting with the Lord at the table and feasting with him. We see his position here. He was sitting with Christ. We see his privilege. What a privilege it was. What a privilege to be one of them that sat at the table with him. We see his presence, because his presence at the table was a witness to the power of Christ to save and deliver and give life to the dead. Man, that was a mighty thing. His very presence indicated the power of Christ to give life to the dead. And you know, friends, we see in Lazarus a picture of the saint of God this morning. Because the fact of the matter is this, that those of us who know the Lord and belong to the Lord, man, there was a time when we were dead. We were dead in sin. We were in darkness. Just as his body lay in the darkness of the tomb, our natures was in darkness. We were in spiritual darkness. And then one day, you know, we heard the glorious message of the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And my, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we heard God's voice calling us. And that day he called us out of darkness into marvelous light, and we got new life, life that we'd never had before. Paul says this when he writes to the Ephesians, in chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We see our position this morning. Dear friends, we're in Christ this morning. That's our position. And we have the privilege this morning of sitting at the table every Lord's Day morning and having fellowship with the Lord. What a privilege it is to sit at the table. and have fellowship with Him. And you know, as we sit down a little later on around the Lord's table, our presence there, our presence at the table, is a witness to the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ. My, there's men and women who were deep down in sin, and my, throughout this province this morning and further afield, they'll sit at the Lord's table and they're a witness to the power of God to save them, the power of the gospel, and His ability to give them new life. You know, when Lazarus was at the table, he was having fellowship with the Lord. It's a great thing, dear friends, to have fellowship. We hear people talking about fellowship in so many different ways in these days. We hear people saying, you know, in church life we need more fellowship with one another, and that may be true. People will say, you know, we only meet one another coming in through the door and going out through the door, and we need to have more fellowship. And I wouldn't disagree with that. But you know, friends, we need to have fellowship with the Lord every day. And what a blessing that is, and what a privilege that is. And it's available to each one of us. We can have fellowship with Him at the table. We can have fellowship with Him in prayer. We can have fellowship with Him around the Word. We see Lazarus sitting, and His presence there was a witness to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He got new life through Him. Now, the next one I want to look at this morning is Martha, and it just simply says this: they made Him a supper, and Martha served. Martha served. That's all it says. You know, Martha was doing that which she did best. She was serving in the kitchen. And surely we should find what God has fitted us out to do best, and then go out and do it to the best of our ability. If God has given you to preach, then go out and preach. If God has given you the ability to work with children and young people, then go out and work with children and young people. If God has given you the ability to do practical things about the church, then go out and do it. If God has given you the ability in a musical way, then give your talents to the Lord and go out and do it. If God has given you the ability to speak to people in a personal way, in a one-to-one basis, then go out and do it. But whatever God has given you the ability to do, go and do it, but do it to the best of your ability. Do it to the best of your ability. Not just half-hearted in it. Martha was doing that which she did best. We saw Martha serving in the kitchen in Luke chapter 10. I'm sure you remember that passage. And the Lord Jesus again was the guest that was entertained in the home of Bethany on that occasion. And we find this out, that her attitude in John 12 is completely different to her attitude in Luke 10. Because you remember in Luke chapter 10, that she was cumbered about much serving. She came to the Lord Jesus and she complained and she says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. While Martha served in the kitchen, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word, and Martha comes and she's complaining that she's having all the work to do, and she says, Lord, do you not care about this, that my sister has left me to serve alone? And Jesus very graciously and tenderly rebuked her. And you remember He said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. And you see, her attitude to the job was completely different now. There was no murmuring or complaining now. She was getting on with the job. I wonder what attitude we approach the Lord's work in. I wonder what attitude we approach Christian service in these days. Do we murmur when we're asked to do something? Do we complain about it? Do we complain in serving the Lord? Or do we do the Lord's work willingly and gladly to the best of our ability? Because if we served Him because we loved Him, then I'm sure we would labor for Him with a willing and contented mind. The attitude in which we approach a thing will always be determined in how we carry it out. Another thing about Martha was this, that the Lord reproved her graciously and gently in Luke chapter 10, and we find that she received the Lord's word even though it came to her in a rebuke. Not everybody can take a rebuke. You know, she was humble enough to say, I'm wrong, and in meekness let the word of God be worked out in our life. And this is something I believe that we would all be the better for doing. You know, we can accept the word that refreshes us. Come along on Sunday morning or through the week, and somebody reads and ministers maybe from a psalm or from some other passage, and our soul is refreshed and helped and built up, and we receive the word that refreshes us. And we can receive the word that reveals a truth to us, maybe something we've never seen before or something we've never learned about before, and we can receive the word that reveals truth to us. And we can receive the word when it revives us, it stirs us up, it strengthens our faith. But can we receive the word that rebukes us? A whole lot of people can't. I speak from experience, because I've had to deal with them. I've had to suffer their attitude, because their toes has been tramped upon by something that has been preached in the pulpit, and instead of accepting it as from the Lord, they take out their venom and their attitude on the man who preached it, and they come and they say, you know, he's getting at me. He's getting at me. I would have to say this to you, friends, this morning. I look back to my time as a young believer sitting in the pew. Sitting in the pew learning, being taught the Word of God. And I look back and I remember the meetings in which my soul was rebuked. When I was rebuked. And those are the best meetings of all. Because I learned from those rebukes. I learned from those rebukes and sought to put it right in my life. So if God's word comes and it rebukes you, take it as from the Lord. When we put the word of God into practice, what a difference it makes in our life. And take the word of God from the Lord and learn from Him. And here's Martha, and she had done that, because in Luke chapter 10, she's murmuring and she's complaining as she served in the kitchen. But when we come to John chapter 12, it just says that Martha served. Martha served. We see Lazarus sitting and we see Martha serving. In verse 3, we read of Mary, and it says this, then Mary took a pound of ointment, spikenard very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We see Lazarus sitting, we see Martha serving, and we see Mary sacrificing. You know, in this act that Mary performed with this ointment, We see the affection that was in her heart. This demonstrates how much she loved the Lord. The ointment was worth 300 pence, which was the equivalent of a year's wages of a laboring man. And Mary's love was such for the Lord that she was willing to give that which was dear to her. She was willing to give her best. She was willing to give her best. Mary made this sacrifice because of her love. Dear friends, it was her love for the Lord that enabled her to sacrifice for the Lord. Remember, there's a difference between giving and sacrificing. Remember, back in Mark's Gospel, if you would just turn to it for a moment, Mark's Gospel chapter 12, and in verse 41, we read these words, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And that was a great thing. Many that were rich cast in much. That was good. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You see, friends, the rich cast in much. They give well. They give well. But the widow, she gave everything. You see, the rich were giving because they could afford to give. But the widow was sacrificing because she couldn't afford to give what she did give. So there's a difference between giving and between sacrificing. And if we love the Lord the way Mary did, then you'll give him your all. My dear friends, this is the affection that was in her heart. She gave the Lord her best. Wonder, are you giving your best this morning? Giving your best. May that challenge your hearts. When I get up here, am I giving the Lord my best? When the organist or pianist sits at the instruments, are they giving the Lord their best? When you seek to function as a church member, are you giving your best as a church member or are an adherent? Are you giving your best? Or are you just giving something? The Lord Jesus deserves our best because he gave his all for you and I. Let's not give half-heartedly. That's not limit. She gave her best, the affection that was in her heart. We'll give her our best when we love him. When we love him. We see not only the affection that was in her heart, we see the adoration that came from her soul. It says she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, her love brought her right down to his feet in adoration and worship. Wonder, does our love bring us to Jesus' feet in adoration and worship? You know, a Jewish woman was very particular about her hair. She looked on her hair as her glory. She very rarely let it down in public. The ointment speaks of sacrifice. The hair speaks of surrender. And the anointing of his feet speaks of submission. She was taking the place of a slave. Love for the Lord will bring you to His feet to give your best, to sacrifice for Him and bring you to His feet in submission to His will. Like Aileen Pollard, you'll say, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay." We see the affection that was in her heart and the adoration that was in her soul and the anticipation that was in her mind. Because when Judas questioned this woman's action, the Lord answered him. And He said, "Let her alone against the day of my burying has she kept this." My Mary, she seemed to know what lay ahead in the future for the Savior. She seemed to know even more than some of His disciples knew at that time. How did she know? She learned it when she sat at Jesus' feet in Luke chapter 10 and heard His word. And dear friends, it says, when she anointed His feet, and she anointed Him with the ointment and bowed down at His feet, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The whole house was blessed through Mary's love and Mary's sacrifice. Everybody in the house smelt the ointment. It brought blessing to the whole house. Wonder, friends, is the fragrance of Christ noticed in your life and in mine? May our lives be filled with the odor of the ointment. May we leave something of Christ's presence and power and with us. May we take it with us wherever we go. As we look at these people this morning, may we be found sitting at the table having fellowship with Him. May we be found serving the Lord like Martha served the Lord. May we be found sacrificing for the Lord like Mary did. If we love Him, we'll be found doing these things. May the odor of the ointment of our lives fill the house. My dear friends, we'll be able to sing the words that we're going to sing just now. "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign." Oh, that we might be able to sing that in reality, with real meaning from our hearts this morning. May we really love the Lord. And when we love the Lord, we want to have fellowship with Him. We want to serve Him. And we bow